Denounce. Let us denounce him. It's one of the oldest tricks in the playbook is, if you don't like someone, to get a bunch of friends and accuse that person of doing something unlawful and get them thrown in prison, get them out of the way. For Jeremiah, he is trying to warn the people of Jerusalem, telling them to turn back to God, and it's not received very well. He's accused of all kinds of things and eventually, of course, thrown in prison. Jesus is accused of untruthfully claiming divine status, that he is the one from God, that he is God himself, that, as he said just one line before, the Father and I are one. It's a very classic play just to accuse those who are not convenient, or to just change the law so that what they're doing becomes unlawful. On April 1st in Scotland, there is a law going into effect that is no April Fool's joke. It is a hate crime bill, hate crime law. And its intention is ostensibly to defend innocent people, to defend those who are marginalized. Scotland already has hate crime laws. There is something good about this. Whatever you think about hate crime laws, it should be wrong to stir up others to actually injure and do violence to another person. But there's a difference between that and then simply stating one's personal beliefs peacefully and with words, with no intention to do injury or violence. This new law has new categories, including, quote, non-binary persons, gender identity. Interestingly, sex, like being male, woman or man, is not one of the categories that's discussed as terms of protections. And what this means is that, as the law currently stands, there are very few protections for religious freedom and freedom of conscience. And it is quite foreseeable that people who even write online, post online, from a microphone, talk about the fact that there are men and women in this world, and just because you might wear different clothes or look different or say you're a woman or say you're a man does not make it so. That those who believe that there are fundamental distinctions in human nature, that those people have quite the risk of being denounced by others. We see this more and more in different Western democracies enacting laws where one's own personal convictions that are expressed peacefully and lawfully are not good enough. It's an incredible story of a woman in England who's been praying by an abortion clinic in her lawfully area she can be in, far away from the entrance, not even holding a sign, not talking to anybody, but she's simply standing there. And she's been arrested several times and taken to court, not because of any violence, but because she was praying inside of herself. You can watch the video of the police coming up to her and asking her, "Are you praying?" And she says, "I might be praying inside." And she got arrested for that. This is going to happen more and more, that those who simply stand up and say, "This is what's true, and I'm not going to budge," are not tolerated, are not able to be integrated into society with that, because they're not towing the dominant narrative of this is what life is about. It is so easy to denounce others, to get them out of the way, or to change the laws to be, in fact, unlawful, to place those who were in a category of freedom of expression into now a banned expression. Intolerable. What do we do about this, brothers and sisters? Well, first of all, we need people of goodwill, and we need Christians to step forward and enter into political life and the legal profession and philosophy and civil service, those who live out faith and reason in their lives in the public sphere. We don't want to be those who just retreat away and say, "Well, it's all going to hell, so forget about it." It's not a proper Catholic response. But I would say today that more importantly to remember right now is just what Jesus says to those who are trying to denounce him and get him out of the way. That he says, even if you don't believe me, at least believe my works. Even if you don't believe my words, at least take my works for what they are. He's healed the blind. He's opened deaf ears. He has made the lame walk. And as much as those Pharisees and scribes wanted to deny that, they couldn't, because the crowds all saw it. They had plenty of eyewitnesses. They accused Jesus of saying, well, this is the power of evil and this is the power of the devil, but the crowds were like, nah, I don't buy that. For us Christians, as we see many things in our own time turning against things that are so clearly and evidently true, that there is man and there is woman, that there is human dignity for all, we should also remember to do the Father's works of mercy, compassion, love, tenderness, feeding the poor, sheltering the hungry. And yes, for those who struggle with things that maybe are foreign to our experience or seem like we aren't sure like how to talk about, like what do we do with someone who says they have a different gender identity? What do we do with someone who biologically is a perfect bodily male and says, no, I'm actually a woman? There's probably some kind of pain there. As Christians, do we just say, well, you're just a leper and you're in this box and that's kind of weird and I'm going to live over here? Or do we actually want to go to that pain and heal that pain and love that person and be known as the people who go out and do the works of God in such love that is undeniable? The early Christians in the first church were those who took up and took in those who were hurting, those who were cast out, the lepers. They took the babies that were abandoned to be exposed by their parents who didn't want them. They took them in and raised them as their own children. They did the works that were undeniable. And people saw. And the church is still here. So brothers and sisters, take great hope and do the works of God. And let the love of Christ be manifest in your life and in the organizations that you support. The church will remain until Christ comes again.